program is sponsored by the International Ladies Garment Workers Union Campaign Committee, David Dubinsky, Chairman, on behalf of Truman and Barclay.
Oh, Mr. Dewey, dear Mr. Dewey, I'm the voter who elects the president. But before I cast my vote, I would like to hear your quote on exactly who and what you represent.
Oh, Mr. Voter. Hi, Mr. Voter. I insist I represent the working men.
How's about the NAM?
Well, my backing comes from them.
That's dishonest, Mr. Dewey.
Merely politics, my friend.
This is the story of what the Republican 80th Congress and the National Association of Manufacturers have done to bring on inflation and set back the cause of liberal government in the United States. The second in a series of four coast-to-coast broadcasts presented by the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, organized in 1900, affiliated with the American Federation of Labor, and represented in 277 cities in 38 states. Tonight, and at the same time for the next two Thursday nights, you'll hear Ronald Reagan, Melvin Douglas, Tallulah Bankhead, and Pat O'Brien from Hollywood and Broadway. Also, Mayor Humphrey of Minneapolis, Senator Barclay, and President Truman. And later, more of Serenade to a Presidential Candidate by Jack Lawrence and Arnold Stein. But now to Ronald Reagan in Hollywood.
This is Ronald Reagan speaking to you from Hollywood. You know me as a motion picture actor. But tonight, I'm just a citizen. Pretty concerned about the national election next month, and more than a little impatient with those promises the Republicans made before they got control of Congress a couple of years ago. I remember listening to the radio on election night in 1946. Joseph Martin, the Republican Speaker of the House, said very solemnly, and I quote, "We Republicans intend to work for a real increase in income for everybody by encouraging more production and lower prices without impairing wages or working conditions," unquote. Remember that promise, a real increase in income for everybody. But what actually happened? The profits of corporations have doubled, while workers' wages have increased by only one quarter. In other words, profits have gone up four times as much as wages. And the small increase workers did receive was more than eaten up by rising prices, which have also bored into their savings. For example, here's an Associated Press dispatch I read the other day about Smith L. Carpenter, a craftsman in Union Springs, New York. Seems that Mr. Carpenter retired some years ago, thinking he had enough money saved up so that he could live out his last years without having to worry. But he didn't figure on this Republican inflation, which ate up all his savings, and so he's gone back to work. The reason this is news is Mr. Carpenter is 91 years old. Now, take as a contrast the Standard Oil Company of New Jersey, which reported a net profit of $210 million after taxes for the first half of 1948, an increase of 70% in 1 year. In other words, high prices have not been caused by higher wages, but by bigger and bigger profits. The Republican promises sounded pretty good in 1946, but what has happened since then, since the 80th Congress took over? Prices have climbed to the highest level in history, although the death of the OPA was supposed to bring prices down through, quote, the natural process of free competition, unquote. Labor has been handcuffed for the vicious Taft-Hartley law. Social Security benefits have been snatched away from almost a million workers by the Gearhart bill. Fair employment practices, which had worked so well during wartime, have been abandoned. Veterans' pleas for low-cost homes have been ignored, and many people are still living in made-over chicken coops and garages. Tax reduction bills have been passed to benefit the higher income brackets alone. The average worker saved only $1.73 a week. In the false name of economy, millions of children have been deprived of milk once provided through the federal school lunch program. This was the payoff of the Republicans' promises. And this is why we must have new faces in the Congress of the United States, Democratic faces. This is why we must elect not only President Truman, but also men like Mayor Hubert Humphrey of Minneapolis, the Democratic candidate for senator from Minnesota. Mayor Humphrey, of 37, is one of the ablest men in public life. He's running against Joe Ball, who was a member of the Senate Labor Committee, helped write the Taft-Hartley law. The Republicans don't want to lose Ball, and they're spending a small fortune on his campaign. They've even sent Dewey and Warren out to Minneapolis to speak for him. President Truman knows the value of a man like Hubert Humphrey in the Senate, and he has been in Minneapolis, too, campaigning against Joe Ball. Mayor Humphrey and Ball are the symbols of the political battle going on in America today. While Ball is the banner carrier for Wall Street, Mayor Humphrey is fighting for all the principles advocated by President Truman, for adequate low-cost housing, for civil rights, for prices people can afford to pay, and for a labor movement freed of the Taft-Hartley law. I take great pride in presenting my friend from Minneapolis, Mayor Hubert H. Humphrey, candidate for United States Senator.
Good evening, fellow Americans. We are waging today in the United States and out here in Minnesota a campaign of many issues. Now, some of these issues are new. They are the imperative problems of a mighty nation hastening towards its destiny. Other issues we have met before. They are the unfinished business of our history. Yet the pattern of all these issues, the battle line of this campaign, is as old as human government. Government is the means by which all the people, acting together, do for themselves those things that the people cannot do one by one. That is the great principle of government. The things that government must do have changed as human society has changed, but that principle remains the same. There is one more thing that has not changed. Always there have been the greedy and the selfish, the enemies of free enterprise, who did not want government to do its job. They were the enemies of Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. And today, they are the enemies of President Truman. Now, they have been known by many names, but never have they been so well named as they were a few nights ago by a certain man who is their spokesman in the United States today. This man spoke of the dead hand of government. Dead handers, the party of Dewey and Joe Ball, earned their new name well. Just 16 years ago, they saw the farmer stripped of his land and the workman stripped of his job. They saw banks fail and schools close and little children going hungry, and they did nothing about it. They played politics with human misery. Under them, the hand of government was indeed dead. 2 years ago, the Republican deadhanders won a brief majority in Congress, and they have done us great harm in 2 years. We Americans must undo that harm. We must free our good servant, the government, from the chains of the deadhanders. We must declare a clear and meaningful program that will give to our democracy new life. Our program must protect the American farm. We must declare an economic bill of rights for American agriculture. Now, there are those who would turn our farmers out into the so-called free market. They would have our farmers compete with the billion-dollar corporations. They would have them sell their corn and wheat to the speculators who stake millions on the figures of the grain exchange. They call that free enterprise. Now, that is like turning a lamb into a den of wolves and then saying to the lamb, "It's all right, you can bite him back." Under President Roosevelt, we sketched out a broad farm program. That program is giving to the American farmer price supports, crop loans, farm credit, orderly marketing, and rural electrification. Yes, our land must be preserved and it must be replenished. Soil conservation, reforestation, agricultural research, all these must be part of the economic bill of rights for agriculture. We have seen the TBA turn a poorhouse into a treasure house. Now we know the way. We must have, as President Truman has said again and again, a Missouri Valley Authority, a Mississippi Valley Authority. We must develop every river valley for all of our people. Now, whatever these Republican deadhanders may say, labor is not a commodity. American labor is humanity. We must undo the harm that has been done in the last 2 years. We must repeal the Taft-Hartley Act and then move forward towards fair, stable, productive relationships between labor and management. And in our foreign policy, we must follow a course no less wise and reasonable. The Marshall Plan gives life and hope to millions of people. The Marshall Plan is effective. It is working. It is winning our battle for peace. Yes, our goal lies beyond the European Recovery Program. Our goal is a just and enduring peace. And towards that goal, the United Nations is the beginning. We must give unswerving devotion to the United Nations. Always we must remember that the idea of world order, the idea of world security against mass destruction, is a powerful idea that moves the minds of men everywhere. The dead handers, they would cripple the reciprocal trade treaties. They would withdraw our country from the economic life of the world. They ignore the realities of the modern world. We reject the double dealing and the double talk of the Republican dead handers. We shall free our country of their cold and clammy clutch. We shall move forward in the spirit of Abraham Lincoln, in the trail blazed by Franklin Roosevelt, under the leadership of President Harry Truman. And we shall win for ourselves and our children, yes, for all mankind, the reality of a free and a secure world.
From Minneapolis, you've been listening to Mayor Hubert H. Humphrey, Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. In just a few moments, we'll tell you how you can earn $450. But first, here is Jack Lawrence, celebrated composer of If I Didn't Care, All or Nothing at All, Linda, and other hits, with radio's most unusual voice, Arnold Stang, in Mr. Lawrence's newest composition, Serenade to a Presidential Candidate.
Oh, Mr. Dewey. Dear Mr. Hooey, do you think the 80th Congress did their best? There's inflation here today. There's no housing on the way. Is there any remedy that you suggest?
Oh, Mr. Voter, nice Mr. Voter. As my buddy Taft appropriately said, when the price is in excess, people really should eat less.
Then they won't need any houses.
No, they'll all be dead instead.
Oh, Mr. Dewey, dear Mr. Phooey, all your statements sound like double talk to me.
Well, they are.
Can you tell me what's in store? Is it peace or is it war? What exactly is your foreign policy?
Oh, Mr. Voter, sweet Mr. Voter, Mr. Marshall's plan is really heaven sent. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, and a mighty strong UN.
Do you promise, Mr. Dewey?
Promise? Ooh, I'll promise anything. I want to be the president.
Friends, here's a different quiz with a $450 prize for every listener. All you have to do is answer these questions. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. First, what did the Republican 80th Congress do about stopping inflation?
Nothing.
Correct. Next, what did the 80th Congress do about the housing shortage?
Nothing.
Exactly. Now, what did the 80th Congress do to extend Social Security benefits?
Nothing.
Right again. And what did the 80th Congress do about enacting civil rights legislation?
Nothing.
And that's just exactly what the American public got.
Nothing?
Exactly. Now, here's how you earn your $450.
Yeah.
The annual cost of living has gone up $900 since May 1946, because working families did not take 1 hour to register and 1 hour to vote in 1946, and the 80th Congress was elected by default. You now have to spend $900 more a year to live. If you have registered and are eligible to vote, you've earned $450. Now, if you vote on Election Day for Truman, Barkley, and a liberal Congress, you can make another $450 saving in your cost of living for next year. Listen next week for the third program in the Coast to Coast series presented by the International Ladies Garment Workers Union Campaign Committee, when you will hear President Harry S. Truman from Washington and Tallulah Bankhead from New York.
This program was sponsored by the International Ladies Garment Workers Union Campaign Committee. David Dubinsky, Chairman, on behalf of Truman and Barkley. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.